It's Joe and Mike, buildassetsonline.com, how to make $1,000 per day drop shipping with AI content. We're just going to get right into it today because when we have these presentations, people watch this after the live stream and I don't want to leave them hanging, talking and all that, but we'll do the Q&A after. So let's just get started. So how do you actually go about this? What's like the framework that you should be thinking of? Now, this is assuming you have a Shopify store, you have at least one decent supplier, and you know, you're ready to make some sales with them, you have some decent margins. So I would say the goal is 30 money pages, and that might be able to equal approximately one sale per day. Say one sale per day is $1,000. That would be $1,000 in sales per day. So let's move on. You should also, with AI content, one of the beautiful things about it is it gives you the ability to create topical relevance really, really quickly. And I'll show what that is in a minute. But the idea is you don't want to only create those 30 money pages. You want to create around 300 supporting pages, which are going to give you that topical relevance around the topic and product that you are hopefully selling. And by doing this, you're just showing Google, hey, I'm not, you know, I'm posting informational content too. I'm not just trying to, you know, get the money, because I guess their algorithm cares about that, which apparently it does, whatever.
Joe, be careful touching your mic.
I didn't touch it. Did I? Maybe I touched the desk. All right.
You're squeezing it. Something's happening with it.
All right. I won't touch it. We'll keep going. So here's an example of, this is just a screenshot from Ahrefs, the keyword planner. And I selected, I just basically typed in best pergola to try and find our first money page in this hypothetical example. And I came up with best pergola for high winds. Now, interestingly, you will notice that within these best, this keyword set, this small screenshot, there are also a lot of informational topical authority building keywords here. So we have best material for pergola, best wood, best stain could technically be a money page, best plants for a pergola. You know, this kind of stuff is teetering on the verge of informational content. So there are some best keywords that you can use for informational content as well. But on the next slide, I'm going to show you more about what I mean. And we're going through these examples rather quickly. If you're doing this on your own, you'll have to spend some time finding more money keywords and finding more of these informational keywords. So these right here, I just scraped these, I didn't scrape them. I just typed in the Google autocomplete. These are pure informational keywords that are going to build your topical authority around pergolas. So why are pergolas not covered? Why are pergolas so expensive? Why are pergolas so popular? Why don't pergolas have roofs? So that, you know, you can kind of combine have roofs and not covered, because that basically means the same thing. So, you know, you want to do around probably 5-to-1 ratio of information to money keywords. So say, you know, you find a couple more of these, then you publish the best pergola for high winds, which is your big money keyword. Even though it only gets 100 searches per month, according to Ahrefs, you know, the search volumes in Ahrefs and other keyword tools, as we discuss over and over and over again, are really not that accurate. And interestingly enough, Mike, I'm finding that sometimes even the search volumes from the Google autocomplete are inaccurate and an underestimation. Not that I would go for those if I was writing them manually, because the bang per buck is not quite there. But if you're really, really bulk publishing with AI, you know, you can kind of sometimes like make up your own keywords and they'll get some traffic.
Sorry. So you're saying the search volumes for Google autocomplete aren't that accurate. Where are you even getting search volumes for Google autocomplete?
I just meant the fact that it shows in autocomplete in general.
Right. So the previous kind of rule of thumb was if there's autocomplete, then it's something people are searching. And so those are kind of the things you go after. But you're saying you're even going off the beaten path and doing things that aren't necessarily even on autocomplete, and you're finding that they're ranking.
Yeah. And they're getting traffic is what I mean, but it all depends on your technique of publishing. you know, even with, if you're going to write them yourself, or if you're going to use a more expensive AI publishing tool, you know, I might not go for those kind of keywords just because, you know, it's really kind of a toss up. But I just wanted to put that out there, that you can build informational content, even some money content, just kind of based on what you think people might be searching sometimes. Yeah. So
that's a good little insight. And so for people just joining, we will, after we run through the basic process, we'll go back through and summarize it. So if you're just tuning in and you're kind of lost, just follow along and then we'll wrap it up over again. But leave a chat, say what's up.
So I want to talk about right here. This is Koala Writer. I think this is probably the best way to get high quality articles done for a project like this. And so the UI is really, really simple. And here, you can just see here, let me just move ourselves here. This is just, you know, when you sign up for Koala Writer, you're kind of greeted with this screen here. And I'm creating a blog post, Best Pergola for High Winds. And the beautiful thing is that if you use the outline editor, I would actually use the real-time search results as well, but I would not have cite sources on for this, because the reason you're going to want to use the real-time search results is because you want it to be able to pick up information about your products from the web. So in other words, say you were selling pergolas here, you have Best Pergola for High Winds, and you have product one, product two, product three, product four. And say you want Koala to be able to search the web and just write a little bit about each product. And you could add more to it later, because, you know, this is like your money page. It's kind of important. But, you know, it might not know the OpenAI, which Koala Writer is using, might not know the latest brands or the brands that you're selling. So you want to control it and have it do what you want it to do. You want it to pick your products, the model numbers, and the brands you're selling. So using the real-time search results tick box up there is going to be critical for articles like this. Okay. So if you go to buildassetsonline.com/koala, that's our affiliate link. We'll send you the AI content publishing tip deck that I created, and it's 7 tips to help you use AI content correctly and scale it. So, you know, I think it's a great tool, even if you get one of the smaller packages. I have the lifetime deal. So, you know, I'm going to be definitely using it's basically 200,000 to 1,000,000 words per month, depending on whether you're using GPT-4 or 3.5. But yeah, check that out if you want to implement this strategy yourself, buildassetsonline.com/koala. And what you want to do is basically repeat this process 30 money pages, 300 info pages until your goal is reached. Now, you may need multiple different products, you know, just depending on, there might not be that many different ways that people search for best pergola for blank. There might not be many best X for Y variations for that. But yeah, maybe you do this over a couple different product lines. But either way, I mean, I think we just laid out here a pretty straightforward playbook of how you can hit that goal that we talked about in the beginning, which was, of course, $1,000 in sales per day with AI content. And you go for these long tail keywords. I wanted to just pull up actually web browser here, the thing I showed, Best Pergola for High Winds. Under the sponsor here, which we can't really control, you know, I think this is really, it should be pretty easy to rank for a US store. I mean, look at this. You have a New Zealand, what is this? Co.za? Is that New Zealand?
Well, New Zealand's NZ.
What's co.za? I don't know. Look that up real quick. But yeah, I mean, there's not really many high quality articles ranking for this. And like, even so, South Africa. So just pulling up some of the results, you know, I feel as if like this even first result here, this is a good informational thing, but it doesn't exactly match the intent of Best Pergola for High Winds. you know, just kind of goes into the material. Like when people are searching best for pro roller for high wins, you know, they want to be recommended a product. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And, you know, none of these like pages here are straight up like recommending them a product, you know, giving the user what they want. And I mean, this is just,
it's just telling you kind of materials.
Yeah. It's just telling you kind of materials and, you know, these, yeah. So yeah, I think, you know, keywords like this are super easy, especially because let me switch back to the other thing, especially because when you're looking for money keywords for high ticket dropshipping stores, what you're going to find is that there's not a lot of these cheap Amazon affiliate sites competing for your spots in many, many cases. Because Amazon, I think they do sell pergolas and stuff, but typically it's not something people do Amazon affiliate for. Because, I mean, even though they might sell some pergolas, Amazon is just not like a top pergola dealer, if you will. You know, people tend to buy that more expensive home stuff on places like Wayfair and more independent stores. So there you have it. You have less competition out of the gate when you're doing high ticket dropshipping products, which makes it, you know, even easier to get to the goal here. So this is with zero ad spend. I mean, yeah, you got to probably front the cost for Koala, but I mean, it's, you know, we're talking literally pennies and such a high payout compared to what you can get with like an affiliate website.
Yeah, this is really kind of the holy grail of starting with very, very little money. Obviously, the disadvantages versus paid ads, you just get it going and then you're going to start getting traffic immediately. This, you have to make the articles and the articles still have to rank. But we have a comment here from Mr. Eric Racine and said, before I started running ads, I had created blog posts and I got my first high ticket sale. They bought the product. I ranked at number one. So that's pretty crazy.
I think that goes to show what I just said with the low competition stuff. You know, the web is filled with, because there's so many blogging courses out there and there's no barrier to entry to make a blog. You know, you got people from all over the world just spamming the web with Amazon affiliate and whatever cheap affiliate things. But like Eric is saying, because of the nature of high ticket dropshipping, you can rank with, like we've seen, you know, our friend Raz, when he made one of his stores, he like ranked within a month before he even started his paid ads and made a sale. I don't know if you remember that, like one of the products just ranked
briefly
out of the gate. And so I think it's kind of a commonplace because again, you get in with the right dealers, like there's just not that many pages around these types of products on the web and just makes it way easier.
Yeah. It's not part of the mainstream blogging business model. Like you said, it's either ads and in forms of like, you know, media content, like you write a blog post about something informational, you get ads on the website, or yeah, people are going to Amazon, but nobody is actually combining the super long tail, high ticket product articles and then sending them directly to their own website where they're going to get the max margin or commission, if you will.
Right. And that's because, of course, and I know a lot of you lazy folks out there don't want to hear this. There is a barrier to entry. You know, you have to take a few steps. It's not like you just go sign up to the Amazon affiliate program, spin up a WordPress site, and that's it. There's a reason why that's harder to do, or that's easier to do. And as a result, the payouts, first of all, you really got to be on the cutting edge and you really have to be an expert in that thing. But yeah, there's a reason why it's just so much easier to make money faster using a technique like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The blogging appeal, I think, is losing a lot of its initial shine that it had in the, you know, 2018 days or even before that, because now with AI and things changing so rapidly, it's like, if you're not at least giving yourself multiple layers of protection, like for example, here we're doing SEO But it's layered with the fact that we actually sell these products ourselves. So if there's an issue and we get deranked or whatever, it doesn't really matter because we already have paid traffic going to the products. Or, you know, worst case scenario, your website gets penalized for something. You could always make a new website. And you're, again, you're already in with these suppliers. This is a relationship that goes beyond Google's algorithm. It goes beyond Shopify, et cetera. So you have so many layers of protection.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that as the AI search becomes more and more prevalent, they're going to be and people are asking about products. That's where Google is going to really, really, I think personally, give the hammer to a lot of affiliate type websites. So you better have a paid strategy in addition to your affiliate strategy, because I think that's what's going to give you the maximum results once Google starts with its AI, inserting shopping ads into the AI queries or whatever.
Yeah. Sure, for sure. So if you want to learn how we do this, we'll work with you. buildassetsonline.com/enroll. We guarantee you'll be profitable your first $1,000 you spend using our methods, or we'll reimburse you the difference. If you make only $800, boom, $200. We're guaranteeing you're profitable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we're really on the bleeding edge of this AI stuff, combining it with the e-commerce. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it's all about sustainability. We've seen over the years so many different methods come and go, so many different people come into the game, and they just quit. I don't know. They don't have what it takes. But maybe because there's two of us, maybe because of the Build Assets Online strategies of just getting these sellable assets into orbit, running them, etc., we've been able to maintain.
Yeah, Mike, so, I want to share something actually. You mentioned that the blogging stuff is less and less appealing, and I want to get to the bottom of that. It's because at its heart, if you are blogging and you're, whether you're a mom blogger and you're using Pinterest, or whether you're using straight SEO to try to rank articles and make money with ad revenue, you know, it's just an exploit. You're exploiting an algorithm to try to get an end result. And not that there's anything wrong with that. And it's because people make a lot of money with that. But you got to kind of really master the algorithm. And unless you, I think, put a lot of time into it, put a lot of years into it, the algorithm is going to change on you, and you could be, you know, left with nothing. And it's happened with many, many different forms of traffic that people use to get blog traffic from, whether it be Facebook pages, whether it be straight up SEO. It's just a constant thing that you have to keep up with. And yeah, that's why there are people like that. You know, some people focus on building more sustainable sites that are going to weather the storm of any algorithm updates. And then there are people that just try to straight up, I guess, go to war with the Google algorithms, you know, spam things. And then they, sometimes they make a lot of money and walk away with it. But you still got to be really intimately connected with the algorithm. It's not really, I think it's one of the least sustainable business models. For some do really well and it's really sustainable, but man, you got to have big cojones to stick with it.
Well, I think it's because it gets confused as a business model when really it's just hyper obsessing over the method of traffic.
Yeah.
Like SEO in and of itself is a good thing to use to sell a product or sell advertising. But if you frame your entire business and your entire livelihood on SEO, then yeah, I mean, like you said, it is an exploit, because the search engine optimization, you are trying to write your content or do whatever in a certain way so it ranks higher according to Google's algorithm or whatever, Bing, whatever. So you're at the mercy of Google. If they decide to change whatever they're doing, you now have to go and restart. But again, when you pair it with something like having access as a dealer to high ticket products, then it's just one traffic tool in your arsenal.
And I want to show an example. I mean, we're no stranger to these exploits. You know, I want to show you an example of a site that I'm working on now using bulk publishing AI content. You know, I'm fully, you know, I'm testing out some, I don't want to call them, I don't think I'm doing an exploit, but, you know, just implementing some of the latest bulk publishing strategies and, you know, seeing some good results with it. This site was making, you know, $50, $60, $70 a day in January. I started really, you know, in the beginning of May, you know, implementing what I think is going to be the best strategy to use right now, whether it's going to be the best strategy in a year or a month, you know, I really have no clue, but you know, now it's making over $200 a day, $220 a day. And hoping to build it to way more than that. But, you know, I know in the back of my mind, I'm trying to, this is just slaying the dragon. This is just like, you know, I'm playing this game almost just for fun. Like just, I would not want to rely my financial future on a business model like this.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You need the combination, but that's also why this advice that used to go out there of like, just make the best content possible.
Yeah.
It's such nonsense because Google does not care how much effort and how much of your heart you put into making a piece of content. Google cares if it fulfills the searcher's need compared to everything else that is on the internet about that particular search query.
Well, it also cares how it cares about all the variables that it uses to rank your site and then how your site fulfills the searcher's need compared to other. Like, yeah, it's a robot at the end of the day. That's it. It doesn't, you know, let's say I don't even like to use the word care. It doesn't care about anything. It just,
right. Works. I'm saying does. From the whole robot is designed to kind of match that, but right. Yes, it is emotionless. So you're going to the AI, you're going to the Google algorithm robot and say, here, please put my content at the top. I work so hard on it. I put my heart in it. I put my soul into it. They go, soul. What's that? Oh, this rank 18. See you later.
Yeah.
But I guess just to go over again what we talked about in a summarizing fashion. So $1,000 per day, dropshipping using AI content. You say you want 30 money pages to get one sale per day.
Yep.
Meaning a money page would be something like we describe here, right? Best pergola for high winds.
It has to have high buying intent. So, you know, it could be a pergola with, I don't know, pergola with blue rails. Something where people are searching for a product. It might not be like a brand or product directly, but they're searching for, like you could tell by the search that they're very close to buying. So,
right. They're not searching, why is my pergola stained?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's not a money page.
No, that could be one of your supporting pages for sure. Right. And you should have 300 of those.
Right. And I also want to mention, we are glossing over the fact that you know how to find $1,000 products. We've gone over, I mean, every single one of our videos we made for the last 5 years is about how to do this. It's about all the sorts of products you can find. So if you can't figure that out, just go and watch another video. But yes, so we're kind of jumping this part, the $1,000 per day. This is assuming you sell one product using high ticket dropshipping that is $1,000.
Yeah.
So if you can make 30 money pages, you can get enough traffic to hypothetically get one sale per day. And with those 30 money pages, you want 300 supporting pages to go with it. So for every one best pergola for high winds page, you want 10 supporting pages. Like I said, why is my pergola stained? how to tie a pergola to the ground. I don't know. Stuff like right. that are just there to, yeah, like Joe said, topical relevance. So if you just submit these 30 money pages to the Google robot, it may not deem that as worthy of ranking because you're not necessarily showing that you are an authority on the topic. Versus if you submit 300 supporting pages about pergolas along with the 30 money pages, now you're creating more authority on the topic. And so the robot says, oh, okay, this website seems to have a lot of info on pergolas. Maybe I should rank it a bit higher.
I don't know if we mentioned this, but the bonus with this all is even if you don't build any links, which that's something we could talk about in a separate video, but your rankings for your products themselves because of the topical authority will increase as a result of this. So if you're selling Acme brand pergola and you're on page 2, a strategy like this can easily move you to page 1, which will, you know, give you more, even more organic sales. So it's a nice side benefit.
Andrew with a good question here. 300 informational pages per product category?
I would say, so basically for every money page, I wanted to do 10 informational pages. So that being said, if you do 3 money pages in a category, you'll want to pair that with 30 informational pages. So you could apply that to whatever.
So if you have a pergola, if you're selling pergolas, you would kind of say, all right, pergolas, that's a product category.
Yes. But what I'm saying is like, just think of it as like, all right, I created one money page. Let me create 10 other pages. And they don't have to be great or, you know, exquisite. They could just be like, something they don't have to be like actual keywords that you find. It's just something like 5 tips for installing your pergola, like, you know, something like that. You can create something like, or based off like a customer question that you always get.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So, but if you were selling swings, you'd again want to take that approach of wind resistant swing, best wind resistant swing. And then around the swing or outdoor swing, you'd want to do 10 supporting pages per one money page.
Yeah, exactly.
So, right, as you were saying, for supporting pages, you don't need to use the autocomplete necessarily to – you're not necessarily targeting a search. You're just
– right. You could.
Necessarily about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's about all. Yeah, you should target searches, but you should also come up with your own things, especially if you run out of topics to cover. Like, there might not be like 100 different questions that people ask about pergolas. So, like, you know, in that case, you would have to come up with some of your own like things.
Right. And so beyond that, we use Koala Writer to generate the money pages as well as the supporting pages.
Yep.
We're giving Koala our products to plug when it writes its articles.
Right. Yeah. And you'll notice, just back to that screenshot, if you are going to use Koala Writer, you'll notice that the best pergola for high winds in this example, that's your heading 2. And then you put a little space on the next line. So you do enter and then space. Mm. And that's your heading 3. So it's going to, you know, it's like your Roman numeral outline. All your products are going to be nested under that heading of best pergola for high winds.
Cool. Yeah. So is that included in the tip deck?
I should include that. I mean, that's kind of just part of the tip deck is more like a higher level than like how to use Koala Writer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, there's probably guides on the page on how to do that, right?
Yeah, it says it right on the page.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, it is that simple, I suppose. You got to get in with a high ticket supplier. You get access to their products that are $1,000 plus. And then you're just creating for every one money article, you're creating 10 supporting pages for per product category. And you're just building that out. And you can do that pretty quickly on QualaWriter. I mean, it's pretty inexpensive as well compared to having a human being do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And since it's boosting your topical authority for, say, pergolas, it's going to drive extra authority to your collection pages, to your product pages, and those can go up in rankings as well. And you'll get the benefits of that too. So Game Control had a question to go along with that. Do collection pages with an article below it rank quickly?
Well, I think the type of page is not necessarily what's going to determine that. You can, yeah, if you have a collection, like a collection page in theory shouldn't really need an article below it to rank, if that makes sense. Like,
so,
you know, it could have, you could do an article below it. Like, it's not going to hurt. But I, you know, I just don't think that's going to matter so much. I would put that on a blog page, best pergola for high winds. I wouldn't put it on a collection page.
But what I was going to say is, if you come across a search like this and then you actually go and look it up and you find that the majority of things ranking are collection pages, that's kind of an indication to also put that keyword you're going after as part of a collection page, right? Like,
yeah, but you wouldn't find it. It would be unusual to find it for something like this.
For something like best, it's usually going to defer to like a list and a blog type article. But like, if it was pergola with pergola with concrete pillars,
yeah, exactly.
That might be a collection page.
Yeah, but and I really don't even think it matters too much. You know, I think that's just kind of, what is it? I think that's overanalyzing it a little bit. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a bad thing if you put do either one. Like, I don't think it really matters.
So when do you like to use a collection page versus a article?
No, I guess you're right in that sense that, so for example, if I'm going to rank for white pergola or something where there really is no context for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there's no additional modifiers, like people are just searching for white pergola.
Right. Like, how would you write an article about white pergolas?
I feel like that's just a collection page. Like,
right.
Buy white pergola. White pergola for sale.
Yeah, I feel like this is where we went wrong kind of in the beginning of a lot of our blogging stuff. Like, that's a good example, white pergola. We would try and rank for that and then go into, like, the history of pergolas and, you know, like all sorts of stupid stuff like that. And be like, oh, there's so many words and Google's going to, you know, see that, whatever. But in actuality, number one, like the user searching white pergola doesn't care about the history of pergolas.
Yeah.
They just want to see it. They just want to see a list of white pergolas and they might buy one. That's it.
Yeah. And this is kind of out of the scope of this episode, but what I will say is that you ranking your collection pages, you know, I think links are an effective way to do that, because if you want to rank for, say, white pergolas, and then you have 10 other retailers, that's where you're going to find a lot of your competition in this. The blogging stuff kind of skirts around the competition, but you are going to find a lot of collection page competition, and that's where the links and the site structure and of course the topical authority, like we mentioned, all that comes into play. But that's where the links and stuff become more important.
So like Andrew asked, is there not value in having a collection page article that just contains the brand / general keyword for that product type?
No, yeah, I just said that that's fine.
Right.
Like your brand collection page doesn't have to be a whole thing.
But you could just drive links to it to help it rank up essentially.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those are kind of sometimes I'm a little bit, I don't know. I haven't really tried driving too many links to brand to collection, like brand collection pages. And the reason is because it depends on, I think, whether the supplier themselves rank. and how many spots a supplier takes up. So say you're selling Acme chairs and you Google Acme chairs and the supplier is also a vendor and their website is like acmechairs.com. I think it would be hard to overtake the supplier in that instance.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's worth you know, doing links in that context.
Gotcha. Fernando says, yo, bow. Currently back to getting a job. I ran out of savings and credit and in tons of debt and lots of debt. Well, I know you weren't in our course, Fernando, but what happened, man? We don't like the D word here.
That.
Because, I mean, that's like, it puts you in such a bad spot. You run out of savings and, well, credit is debt. When you actually look at it, if you have credit and you use the credit, you're now in debt to pay back that credit. So, yeah you don't want to do that. I don't know. Tell us what happened, Fernando. I'm interested to hear. You know, it always upsets me when that type of stuff happens because I feel like it's preventable.
Yeah. I think there's just – you shouldn't really be risking your money when you have no money.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's like, what do you – if you have no money, you get credit. That's basically being backed by your personal assets, right?
I don't really know. Like, I don't know if that makes sense because, well, it makes sense, but I don't know if that's true because, like, for example, I recall buying a house and getting a mortgage, like, years and years ago. This is when we kind of first started our business and stuff. Like it was hard because I didn't have like the W-2 check. And I was like, but look, I had a lot of like savings and investments from like my job and stuff. But I feel like they wouldn't even consider that. I think all they care about is your W-2.
Yeah. They don't pay back. Yeah, I mean, so hopefully, Fernando, you can get a job, pay it back, and, you know, get a better crack at it next time. What?
Martin
says, what's up?
I was going to read this, but you go.
Okay. What do you guys think about the furniture niche? Is that an oversaturated market to just stay away from completely for beginners? I see Wayfair thriving in that niche. So it's not that the question is wrong, but I think it comes down to a definition problem. Number one, furniture is not a niche.
Yeah.
So it can't be an oversaturated market. Like somebody looking for, I mean, is pergola a piece of furniture? I don't know. Somebody looking for a outdoor day bed, that's furniture. Is not the same as somebody looking for a wooden bar stool for inside their house. And then beyond that, you have different suppliers for both of those things that are going to be at different levels of competition online.
Yeah.
So that's the answer to your question right there. Nothing is saturated at a niche level. And furniture is not a niche. It's just a huge, broad collection of something that, I don't know, you put in your house or whatever. It's like suppliers have a lot of people selling them. And they have a certain level of demand. Can you come in and take a small slice of that pie if they're really big? Or is nobody selling them? They don't have a lot of brand demand. You can come in and take a bigger chunk of that pie. So, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. On our stores, we sell furniture all the time. We sell all sorts of different stuff. Don't get too caught up in that. You can do it. And yeah, again, if you go to buildassetsonline.com/enroll, you can schedule a free call with us to see if we can work together. We'll show you how to build these collection of websites, these collections of assets you could sell for over $100,000. I mean, we do this all the time. And yeah, I mean, we do it in furniture. We do it in all sorts of different niches. We've never failed. We've never failed at a high ticket dropshipping store. Why? Because we know how to diversify. We know how to not go into debt to do this. And eventually, if you stick it out, you wind up with a nice little asset you can sell. So buildassetsonline.com/enroll. You can schedule a free strategy call with us. So, yeah, I mean, what you looking at here, Joe?
Oh, I was looking at some day bets.
These things are actually pretty cool. I mean, it's not a bad niche, I guess. I don't. It's fine. All the niches are fine.
I was looking at it for affiliate purposes. I thought it would fit with one of our sites. But yeah.
I don't know which, but
the most recent one, garden, outdoor stuff. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Maybe. I was just looking at how expensive they are.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the deal, guys. It's really easy to use these AI content tools and just stack articles. Do it in a good way with Koala Writer. It's going to actually, you know, find sources and give good information. So, I mean, that's really it's really all it comes down to. It's just a matter of taking action. So, are people going to take action? Probably not. But for the people that do, we commend you. Thank you. So, I mean, that's all I got, Joe. Unless we got some more questions that come in within the next minute or so, we'll probably call it a day.
Yeah, I think we could definitely call it a day here. I don't really have much else to say. I hope it's been a valuable episode for some of you. I wonder if anyone's watching on Twitter. No, I don't see. We have zero viewers on Twitter.
I'm not big on Twitter yet, Joe. One day.
I got to tell you, whenever I look at the Twitter account, at your Twitter account, I'll click through it. Like, I feel like it's such a fap fest going on over there.
Right. I mean, that's 100% what it is. But like I was saying yesterday, you know, YouTube is that too. Like, if you type in dropshipping on YouTube,
yeah,
all the content for them, like all the top ranking content, is just, it's just fodder, right? Like,
Twitter, I think, looks like a bit more polished, like, I guess because it's text. And I don't know, I feel like when I look at people on Twitter doing like, oh, I built a million, you know, 100,000 visitor niche site, and I'm going to show you how to do it too. Like, I don't know, it just looks, I don't even
know
the
words. Yeah, it breaks it down. It's like 500 words, how you're going to build a 100,000 visitor niche website.
Yeah, it strikes me as like straight. I don't know. I don't quite get
it. I know. I feel you 100%. I mean, to me, I'm so immune to that stuff on Twitter at this point. Like, you got to kind of, I don't know, you got to not give into it.
There's just so, I guess, you know what it is? It's just, there's so much more numbers and charts and like, you know, things like thrown around out there. And yeah, when I see them, I'm like, oh my God, like, who cares? I've seen this stuff 10 million times.
Yeah. But you got to think, to like the beginner, it's like, wow, you can 100,000 visitors. How do I do this? And then it kind of sparks you on that path. I mean, back when we first started, that'd be like a Warrior Forum post, right? Like, how to make $1,000 per day using affiliate, and be like, make a website. You know, write an article.
Yeah.
What was it called when someone would send out an email on your behalf?
A solo ad.
Solo ad. Yeah. Do a solo ad. So It's all kind of the same stuff
to me. It's also so weird. Like, I still, like, I gotta say, I mean, I don't spend that much time on it, but I still don't understand Twitter, because like I'll pull something, like I'll try to read a tweet or whatever, and then I'll scroll down a little bit, and then I see like follow the World Health Organization, and like there's just so much stuff like in between the tweets, I feel like.
I have to real time troubleshoot what you're going through there. I don't know if you're looking at replies or if you're just in a feed.
No, I don't know what I'm looking at either. That's the thing. I don't know.
Once you get it, it's not that bad, but don't worry. Soon, Joe, we'll have a big Twitter audience and you'll have to.
Maybe not.
Have to eat your words.
Maybe not. I don't know.
We'll see. But anyway, buildassetsonline.com, guys. Buildassetsonline.com/enroll if you want to have a free strategy call. Guarantee you'll be profitable with your first $1,000 ad spend using our methods, or we'll reimburse you the difference. So that's it, Joe. Another day, another dollar. Take it or leave it. But as always, guys, take it easy.